Good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 30th of July, 2017, Sunday. Our 53rd Six Patriarch Platform Sutta class. So before we start, we are still early. We have this new transcript book, which is already printed, ready for free distribution. You can collect your copy if you don't have. And this is a very unique and important book. It will describe to you all the understanding of how to cultivate the Bodhisattva way. And most important is, through this understanding, you will know how to walk the path of Dhamma with clear understanding and with ease of cultivation and comprehension. Then not only that, it will also teach you how to develop the affinity of the great beings. The great beings like all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. You take refuge with the Buddha, the Dhamma and the Sangha. These are the great beings you take refuge with. Come, me. Your new book, you can give a copy to your hubby, your mom, Queenie, Sadhu. So this book is very important. Make sure you keep it, then go through it, understand it, then make use of it to develop the real cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma. And all this understanding will serve you well for all your future cultivation when you have the understanding to make the vow, the appropriate aspiration and all those things. If you don't do it, then it's up to you because it's your life, nothing to do with the rest of us. You have the condition, this window of opportunity within this sasana, and there were conditions for this teaching to come about. And most importantly is the condition for this book to come out. You read through, you will understand why it's so unique, because this book not supposed to come out. I don't know what happened. It's a lot of conditions fall into place. And things starts to happen. Then after that, I start to share. You can have your copy. This is the new book. Then not only condition arise, thing fall into place. Then I share. After I share, many things happen. Before I share, already many things happen. Then after that, I share. Then I thought it was forgotten. Then all of a sudden, after the sharing, somebody volunteered to do the transcript. And this lady is completely new. Volunteer. Then another Kayanamita also from Alastar also volunteered. Then after they did, she got so interested, she decided to do 3 of the transcript. 3 out of 4. The first lady did the first one. Then after I went through, I realized I can combine them into a book form, because all these 4 are very important sharing. The first one is introduction to the way. So at first I thought maybe condition is there to introduce. Then after that, surprisingly, the condition arise for the detailed teaching to come out. That's how the subsequent request for the taking of the vow and also for the understanding of this cultivation arise. Then at the retreat, our recent retreat, beginning of the year in about March, many things happened too. And that was the final, I think the last of the taking of the vow, based on what we have done. That was the last one today. Then recently there was another request. She said, Brother Teo, she will take the vow on her own at home, the altar. Then she requested if there were enough people to take, if there is new condition, inform her. She wants to take it or renew it officially, together as a group under my guardian. So that was what happened at the, I think this one only about 2 weeks ago, or what. She wrote me the email after she read through the soft copy. Then last Thursday we received this book. It was delivered to Pamasuri's house, relative and Pamasuri's house. Then we officially distribute it. So today you are the second batch, Wu Ping Ching Sir. Then the next one is Tuesday class. Then the rest of the Kainamita, they can collect their copies too. So I will keep some at Sui An's house, Wu Ping Ching Sir, and my house, and some maybe Pamasuri or Brother Tino's house. Then we were very lucky, in fact, because the printer was so kind. We only ordered 250 copies, but the printer decided to print extra, the matte finish, about 100 plus copy extra, and give it to us. So we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then also all Kayanamita can also rejoice because our Kayanamita funded the printing. It only cost us about 2,000 plus. Then we had all this very nicely done. And you all should thank Pamasuri Brother Teo for coming out with such beautiful cover. The Kuan Yin post, you call it what, portrait? This one you call it a portrait, right? Very nice, this one is very nice. Mayaka, you are the last to receive this book today. So make full use of it. It is something very useful, very beautiful. Then you want to know some of my story, how I, since young, this life, this particular form of mind, the segmented life, how all the understanding came and the condition for it, which I also link it to all this sharing, is because there were conditions for this thing to come about. All this sharing of the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way comes through that nature that was connected. That's why it can have this type of understanding. It can come in such a form of mind. Otherwise, all these are not possible, because like I used to share with you all, a lot of things that this nature understand this life and share with you all, I never learned them this life. Nobody taught me. Then how does this form of mind know? And how, even at a very young age, before I even know how to meditate or came across the Buddha Dhamma, the form of mind already have this understanding. Then glimpses of what it has cultivated before, developed before. Since young, my form of mind can see all this. So all this, you have to understand. It come through this understanding, otherwise it cannot happen. Then when that time, like what was described inside there, I was only, I think, 8 or 9 years old. Then later on, when I reached Form 4, Form 5, I think about 17 years old. That form of mind, without any Dhamma understanding, without any meditation experience, it can see the glimpses of all the daily mindfulness that it used to develop before. That's why I felt so strange. I was looking at nature, then I can see the flow, the movement, everything. Then I was asking myself, how come I can see all this? What is all this? That time I don't know how to meditate. I didn't even know it's daily mindfulness, specific phenomenal awareness. But insight tell me, this is something very important. This is something you have done before. That's why later on when I knew how to develop the meditation, then when I understood what this mindfulness was all about, this form of mind reflected, then it came to understand all this. That's why the condition that manifests is so beyond people's understanding. If you are not a cultivator, you have not gone through this cultivation and understanding, there is no way you can comprehend all this. Then I also describe that every life you come as a form of mind, you don't have much condition to cultivate. Even if you have some condition from the past, you don't have that much time to cultivate. Then for you to have such great condition, like to be born as a human being, to be born during the Buddha Sasana and have the condition to encounter the Buddha Sasana and have the condition to encounter teacher or great beings who can guide you, these are very rare indeed an occasion. And if it arises, you somehow don't understand the condition and choose to remain what you are or take things easily. If you fail to see the great window of opportunity and determine seriously, sincerely, with faith. You see, you only need three things, like I stressed inside there many times. You must have the faith, the sincerity, and you just cultivate, persevere. The rest will take care of itself. Don't try to know. Then everything will be just the way it is. Where all these vows, the understanding of the right view, the understanding, they will take you along. Then your ability to develop affinity with all the great beings, especially the Triple Gem, through their vows, their special virtue, perfection and understanding, all this will naturally take you along and bring forth the way. Technically, you don't have to do anything. You only have to understand all this and be sincere, have faith, then just cultivate according to this understanding. Sincere means sincerely cultivate with understanding. Being true to yourself and true to that cultivation means you understand the way is there, not difficult. When you understand, it's very easy. When you don't understand, that is the problem. So all these are explained inside there. So when you read through, hopefully it can help you to recall to mind what I have shared with you today. So that all these things can be understood clearly. Otherwise, this book is quite thick. If you don't have the faith, you don't have the understanding, you will read through without much understanding, then you feel boring, like sleepy. Then you will close it. Then you don't know what it is. But when you have the faith, it becomes different. Then when you understand the beauty and uniqueness of all this sharing from this book, your faith will become different, very different, and you will have very strong resolve and determination and affirmation to go this way. You got no more doubt. Your spiritual faculty become very, very different. So these are the things that can bring forth the unshakable faith, bring forth the great condition for you to establish the cultivation, not only for this life, for all your future coming. whether you have to come or you choose to come, it is all there. Yeah. So this sasana is very important. It is only in this sasana you can have the condition to cultivate all this great understanding, great blessings. Then make use of all this understanding and blessing to invoke power of merits, affirmation of truth for causes and conditions to arise, for all this understanding to be with you life after life. Then also make use of this causes and conditions for you to establish great affinity with all the great beings. Then your cultivation becomes very easy. They will bless you, protect you, and guide you. And it's all done through their vows, their great compassion, their love, their wisdom, their understanding. Because their virtue, their merits, their wisdom are so perfect. So much so they can vow until it becomes a nature's law. And this nature's law manifests by itself through nature's condition. You only need to have the faith, connect using your understanding to establish affinity, and their vows will take you along. Technically, you don't have to do anything. You only have to be sincere, true to yourself and the cultivation. Establish your footprint. Plant the seed of Bodhi. The seed of Bodhi is the starting point. You have to have strong affinity, faith, and resolve to plant the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind, Bodhi Seed. When you plant that seed of Bodhi, you only determine to establish yourself firmly on that path through your faith, through your understanding, through your strong resolve. And all these are the necessary requisite conditions for this way to fulfill its ultimate vow and accomplish what that nature has aspired for. Means like Hui Ning, when he went and meet up with the fifth patriarch. The fifth patriarch asked him, "Why are you here?" He said, "I came to seek none other than Buddhahood." You must have this resolve. Yeah. Then this understanding, this resolve, will be strongly, firmly, not only planted, it will bring forth the condition for causes and conditions to arise life after life, so that your cultivation can develop on its own, the perfection can be perfected on its own. And this is something that the world needs. That's why this book has to come out and this teaching has to come out. Okay, so with this, yeah, I will end the introduction to this book. Then we can start our class. So develop your faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence our Buddha chanting. Namo Bhansi Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Jia Mo Ni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahaṃ Sammā Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhaṃ Bhagavantaṃ Abhivādemi. Svakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammaṃ Namassāmi. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho. ังฆังนามามิน
ะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะBuddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmiDutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmiPānāti pātā viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Ādinādāna viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micācāra viramani sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmiMosavada viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi Surāmeraya majjhapamādhatthāna viramani sikkhapadaṃ samādhiyāmi Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu
Okay, let's pay homage to Tripajam, huh? Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghaṃ pujami. Okay. You can be seated, then we can start our Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, huh?We are at chapter
비슈 파타 page 269 before we go to page 269 we go to page 1 verse for opening sutta.The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 269. We will continue from there.
Okay, I forgot, Ingby, give a copy to Brother Jim, yeah. Don't worry, just give it to him. Yeah, you say I give to him one. Because you have a matte copy, you don't have a gloss one, so I give you one each. Yeah? You can pass it to him. Yeah? Okay, page 269. Bishu Fata of Hong Zhou, I think it's that county, Hangzhou. Oh, Hangzhou, not Hangzhou. Hangzhou. Sure. The Mandarin translation is Hangzhou. Oh, not Hangzhou. No, not that one. Hangzhou, another one. Okay, so we now know that it's Hangzhou. So this bhikkhu, Fatha, of Hangzhou, left home at the age of 7 and constantly recite the Dhamma Flower Sutta. You know what is this sutta or not? Miao Fa Lian Hua Jing, the Lotus Sutta. And this is a very beautiful Mayana Sutta. It's all about Bodhisattva way cultivation. It's how to become Sama Sambuddha. That's why it's the Lotus Sutta. But when he came to bow before the patriarch, means our sixth patriarch, Master Hui Ning, his head did not touch the ground. Here the translation says the master scolded him. I just want you to have this understanding. I don't think Hui Ning will scold him. So this word, maybe the English translation is a bit heavy. He must have reprimanded him. He never scolded him. Means he wants to let him understand something. That's why we call it reprimand. Scold means got anger. I scold you because I'm not happy with you. But reprimand is different. Reprimand means I'm trying to teach you. That's why I say a bit more harshly. But I'm not scolding you. It's just like when the Buddha told Ananda, he said, Ananda, foolish one, when did I teach you this type of Dhamma? Because there was one incident. Ananda became very fascinated. That time the Buddha was already, I think, almost very sick, and the body already, like the Buddha say, like a worn-out blockade. Almost time to pass away. Then there is somebody who came and seek the audience of the Buddha. So at first Ananda was not keen. Then when he told him about the teacher that taught him, Ananda became very impressed. Then he said, okay, I will take you in. Then he went in and he told the Buddha, there is this person here. The teacher taught him very good Dhamma. So he told the Buddha, his teacher said, see no evil, hear no evil, talk no evil, and you will be peaceful. You will develop the right meditation to become enlightened. The Buddha straight away reprimanded Ananda. He said, foolish one, when did I tell you all this? When did I teach you the Dhamma this way? I never say you cannot see. You cannot listen. You cannot speak. But I say you must have understanding. You must have wisdom when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactile feel and think of something. When you abstain from all this, not through understanding and wisdom, you are suppressing all your senses. And when you suppress, you cannot develop wisdom. That's why you have to see them, you have to confront them. But things that leads to negativity, you have to be mindful of them and develop the abstinence, because you know this leads to downfall. This gives rise to evil root. That's why you have to undertake the precept, the training rule to abstain, because you already know these are precepts that will lead to downfall, you violate them. So this understanding has to be established. It doesn't mean that you cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot speak or whatever.
So that teaching is completely out. So when the Buddha reprimanded Ananda, it's some sort of like he raised his voice, understand? He's a foolish one. Understand? Means he's not angry with him. He just reprimand him for not understanding. Yeah. So in this manner, I believe, because Huining cannot get angry anymore, understand? So this word, you make a note, it should be reprimand. The master reprimanded him, saying, if you do not touch the ground, isn't it better not to bow? So what is your understanding? What is your understanding? You agree with what Master Huining say or not? Do you agree? Why no sound? Not sure. Use the mic. Use the mic. You all must try. Don't be shy. Don't worry about right and wrong. Just express something.
Yes, Brother, I agree. Because when he bowed without touching the floor, he didn't show any respect.
Yeah.
It's not sincere. There's no sincerity there.
Yes, very good try. So, anybody else who wants to give it a try? Never mind, keep it with you. I don't need this one. Anybody else want to give it a try? We have heard what Paramasuri view is all about. Yes, Sister Mindy. Yeah.
Brother Teo.
Yes.
I think if that person do not bow and touch to the ground, there is an egoic mind. Yes.
Very good. Means Huining can see, understand, the ego is still there, but he still don't have confidence or faith in the six patriarchs, but he doesn't know who he is. So he like casually bow, understand? It doesn't mean that every time you bow, your head must touch the ground to express sincerity, understand? Do you understand that point? Sincerity comes from your heart. If you are not sincere, the cultivator will know. Understand? If you are sincere, sometimes you don't have to do it physically, the respect. It's just from your expression. Understand? That joy inside you. Your sadhu, sadhu. You already express your respect and all. But in this particular case, because Huining can sense and he knew. And the only way to teach this monk is to throw him this type of remark. See how he reacts. Because if you are a true cultivator, when people say this to you, it will test you. If you get angry or unhappy, then you know your cultivation is still far away. But if you have the cultivation, the way you reply is different. You remember Huining, when he went to the fifth patriarch? When he said, I'm a southerner. I'm here to seek none other than Buddhahood. Straight away, the fifth patriarch reprimanded him. Oh, you are a southerner, barbarian, no education. And yet you want to seek Buddhahood. It's just like telling him, what is your chance? The way Huining replied, because he has the cultivation, then he replied very nicely. He said, in terms of physical form, we can be identified as southerner and northerner. But in terms of the Buddha nature, we are all the same. The moment he replied like that, you know, this guy really has the cultivation. So, from this example, I hope you will understand. It's not the question of whether his head touched the ground or not. It's that cultivator itself. He are not sincere. Even if you touch your head on the ground, no meaning. Because you just do it because of formality, understand? That's why we call this form dhamma. Outward Dhamma, not from the heart, not sincere.
So the word sincerity is very important. If you have sincerity, you will pay your respect sincerely. Because you got nothing to lose, anasana. Just as they have an open mind. If he happened to be the right one, the true one, you have got nothing to lose, anasana. Why you want to be so egoic as having the doubt? Then why do you bow to image? This image, the rupang, this is just an image. Why do you bow? That's why respect has its great meaning. Respect means what? I respect your nature, not your form. Do you understand? When you pay respect to the image, it can be Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Sakyamuni or any great being like Pusien, Wensu and all those things. Is to recall to mind their great virtue, their great perfection, their great wisdom. That is where the understanding is. So when you pay respect, you have reverential salutation towards that nature. That's why they are the object of veneration. But you don't like what they call worship them, anasana. That's why sometimes they misunderstood the Buddhists. They say Buddhists pray to idol worshipper. When you worship idol, you don't have a god to worship. You worship the idol. And they always comment, your god is not almighty. Your god is fallible. So all these are people who don't understand. Because when we pay respect, we express our gratitude, our great respect for that great being's perfection and virtue and wisdom. For they have perfected their cultivation until they are so different, so virtuous, worthy of respect, offering, and whatever. This understanding is very important. Because this one comes from the heart. And the heart that has the understanding will express it sincerely. And when it's done with understanding. So cultivation is to be developed with understanding. Then you must be sincere and you must have the faith. That's why I say sincerity and the faith will take you along. Then after that, you make use of whatever that is useful, helpful, beneficial, and move. Have an open mind. Then transcend duality, avoid conflict, avoid argument, avoid misunderstanding. The egoic mind is very powerful. Who wants to argue? The ego wants to argue. So when you understand that, then you come to the clear understanding. If there is nobody inside there, then why do you worry about right and wrong? And right and wrong is relative. It's right according to who, wrong according to who. The truth is, people are just the way they are. The world is the world. If they have delusion, they will act, speak, and think deludedly, following their character, their views, their opinion. So they are just the way they are, no right, no wrong. So if you can be at peace with this understanding, this right view, this wisdom, then you got no problem with life. Then when you hear something, perceive something, understood something, you can feel, then you will know how to develop the appropriate understanding. If they are worthy of respect, you will know how to pay your respect because there is no more ego in you. The humility is there. And you just accord and flow with nature. When there is something beautifully spoken, shared, you should rejoice. That's why the heart will rejoice and all this will happen naturally. And this is for real cultivator of the way. They will have this virtue, this understanding. Okay? Then we move on. So we have to change this word. The master reprimanded Vata, saying, if you do not touch the ground, isn't it better not to bow? there must be something on your mind. What do you practice? That's why Hui Ning knew straight away there is something in your mind. You must have this preconceived idea, egoic idea, because maybe he think, Fa Ta think, I've already been a monk since the age of 7. You from nowhere come out, suddenly become patriarch. So that could be in his thought, thinking that way. Then he replied, I have recited the Dhamma Flower Sutta over 3,000 times. This reflects what? What does it reflect? Ego. Ego. Oh, you think I didn't do my homework? I got kung fu. No? I recited the Lotus Sutta or the Flower Adornment Sutta or this Dhamma Flower Sutta. 3,000 times. Then the master said, I don't care if you have recited it 10,000 times. If you understood the sutta's meaning, you would not be so overbearing, and you could walk along with me. You have failed in your work and do not even recognize your error. See? This is how Hui Ning reprimand and teach. You cannot take this type of what they call commands or advice, then you will not be able to lower yourself down so that your egoic mind can become more, they call it humane, more humane, so that you can develop more humility. Then he said, listen to my verse, Six Patriato Fata. As bowing is basically to cut off arrogance. See? You remember during the early day when we had the sharing at the retreat? Bowing itself has a lot of benefits. What are the benefits of bowing? I write on the whiteboard again. So this one is like a training, recollection for you all, advantages of bowing. You can answer this, means you have the cultivation. First one is what? To develop humility. Develop humility. Which is to do away with the ego. The ego. And what is this ego? This one is self-delusion. Self-delusion or sakayaditi. And this is what ignorance is all about. That's why Hui Ning mentioned is to do away with ignorance. This is the first benefit. What else? Benefits, the next one? Yes, you can develop the faith. The faith. What else? Very good. AB say develop mindfulness. Means help to develop mindfulness. Develop mindfulness. What else? Only cultivator will know this, develop faith, develop mindfulness. Then what else?
Huh? What is it? Yeah lah, what is that? That is one of the 10. Ah, you develop merits, understand or not? What else? Huh? Of course, you can express your gratitude. Huh? Gratitude and respect will come together. Okay? So, you also pay your gratitude. Okay? Respect. Yeah. And these are virtue. These are meritorious action. So these two actually are connected. Yeah? Yeah. Then what else? Ah, exercise. Huh? You get to exercise your body. Exercise. Your body, leading to better health. So all these are very important benefits that you can achieve or develop. You got nothing to lose. Huh? Use the mic, use the mic. I can't hear you. Here, here, here.
To overcome hindrances.
Overcome hindrances. How do you overcome hindrances? Well, you just pay respect to somebody. No. I am here saying advantages and benefit of bowing to somebody, understand not? Paying respect to somebody. Yeah. If you want to develop the causes and conditions for you to overcome coming obstruction or what, that one is different. That one, you kneel in front of the Buddhas or Bodhisattva, then you make affirmation, understand? But here we are talking about that bowing or respect. Yeah, just the benefit of it. Yeah. In fact, these 6 already cover most of it. Of course, you can add in whatever you can maybe come out with, but you will fall within one of these 6. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. So, basic virtue, like paying respect. There is one more thing that the Buddha mentioned. When you pay respect to elders, in Biwano, they used to chant, 4 things grow. What are they? Huh? You will have? Ayuwana Sukang Palang. Huh? 4 things grow. When you pay respect to people who are worthy of respect and elders, 4 things grow. Ayu, Wana, Sukang, Palang. I think this one you know the meaning. Ayu is long life. Wana is fair complexion. Sukang is joy or happiness. Palang is strength, physical and mental strength and spiritual strength. Yeah. So these are the things that you can develop. So for those who understand, respect is basic virtue. If you can't even pay respect, you got problem in cultivation. That means your views, your ego are still very strong. Yeah. Because last time somebody used to tell me this type of thing, is it? when you reach certain level of cultivation, you cannot pay respect to monk anymore. What do you think of all this comment? Even your parents, people who has helped you before, you call what? Ernren in English is what? Your benefactor, is it? People who helped you before, benefit you before. You should have gratitude towards them, and you should pay your respect. And this is basic virtue. If you can't even cultivate basic virtue, means you have a lot of wrong view, a lot of ego. Because that form and mind that does that respect is not what you think you are. It's not you. It doesn't represent a being that represents you. It's just a form and mind. Whether it's with the understanding or with the delusion. That's why when it's with the delusion, you got the egoic mind. It says it cannot pay respect to this. But what is respect? Basic virtue. Humility. Developing a lot of wholesomeness, benefit. You got nothing to lose, understand? So what's wrong with paying respect? You mean it will ruin your reputation? I also pay respect to people, my parent, my teacher, my guide. My last guide don't want people to pay respect to him. He very funny, he got his own way. Then I say, I am here to express gratitude and not pay respect to you, because I have this gratitude towards what you have taught me, shared with me. And in a way, this nature benefited. So all these are understanding. He has his reason why he doesn't want you to pay respect to him. You know what was his reason or not? You don't know. You want to know or not? He doesn't want to have authority. Understand or not? Because human being very funny, is it? If you pay respect means what? You think I am your teacher, understand or not? Or you think I am somebody having authority over you. Then you will be scared of what I say. You dare not oppose. This is what he doesn't like. That's why he said, no. Your nature, my nature, same. What is there to pay respect? But that is because he has a good reason for you not to do it. But then, different people have different understanding. Understand? For me, is people are just the way they are. Understand? When they are at that level, they will do things based on that level's understanding. When they are at different level, they do things differently. But finally, when you transcend all these views, opinion, concept, and idea, it's just like the third way of seeing mountain. Understand? Kan san si san, kan san bu si san. When you are on the cultivation, you will say it's not mountain. But when you finish, you go beyond duality, kan san, yu si san, means you can accept everything. Whether people want to pay respect or don't want to pay respect, the more important thing is your understanding. Understand? Like I mentioned just now, it's your sincerity, your faith. If you have that, whatever you do is beneficial, wholesome, beautiful. But if you have this worry, then you should explain it. Then people will understand. But my last guy don't want to explain it. Because he only told it to me. He voluntarily told it to me. He said, don't, he said, please don't, he said. Yeah, every time you want to thank him. Or when I went and visited him in his home country, which is New Zealand. He actually took me around and he let me stay in his house. And he really
was a great host, and he's full of compassion, full of love. And there was so much joy during that, I think, about 8 to 10 days when we were together. He invited me over. Then another Singapore friend asked me to bring along her daughter. Together we went, two of us. Then he took care of us. He was a really beautiful and good host. And he taught me many things. I stay at his house. Then we travel. We travel, you just talk. That's what Dhamma is all about. But he don't teach Dhamma. He prefer to share the truth. And he's not even a Buddhist. He's not even a Buddhist. He just share the truth. But he has very good, what they call consciousness. His consciousness is very different. And he has a lot of pure energy. Because their civilization is different. So all this, you can never understand, but you can come across being like that, then it's good. So that you understand, different being has different understanding, different character and all those things. More important is, when you understand, there is no difference. Because he has this concern for people who don't understand. If you become like very, very, what word you use? You are like very excited about this paying respect because you think it's meritorious and all those things. So you get yourself what? Conditioned into that greed, you know, to make offering, to pay respect and all those things. Then it defeats the purpose of cultivation, asana. Instead of developing the understanding, the cultivation, you are more interested in the merits, asana. But when you have the Dhamma already, the understanding, then when there is condition, you do. No condition, you don't do. And that is even higher. Because that one is not based on the egoic mind that go through the brain to make a decision. Understand? That's why Krishnamurti is acting according to memory is not acting at all. What is memory? Yeah? You recall through memory your views, your opinion, your conditioning, maybe your tradition also. Then what you do? Yeah? You calculate, isn't it? Understand? Not? You analyze, you calculate. Wow, like that. Maybe very good, meritorious. I think I should do. Means acting out of memory is not acting at all. Well, this is based on a self having this analytical mind or calculative mind to make a decision based on advantages and non-advantages. See? Those who have the understanding, the wisdom, spontaneously they will act. Spontaneously means what? They don't go and calculate behind using the brain, using your memory as well. Straight away they see something wholesome, sincerely they pay their respect. Yeah. I pay my respect to that Thai monk, that teacher, Ajahn Yantra. And my wife will know, and my children. Whenever we see him, even in the town or in the city, we just go down on our foot, pay our respect. And he rejoices. He liked my family. He liked me, he liked my family, my children. So there is so much joy, so much understanding. And that respect came from the heart, which understand, very sincerely done. That's why he had a lot of joy. And he even told the Thai people, when I was at his, we went and visited him, I think in one of the Katina. I went to his Katina a few times while he was based in Australia. So those were the period at time where I had a lot of respect and gratitude for him. And because of my faith, I can understand his teaching very fast. And through the understanding, that humility, that ability, the sincerity to express my gratitude and respect towards him, that's why we will always bow, even at home. we put his image together side by side with the Buddha Rupang, and we pay our respect. Because I had deep gratitude towards him. He was the very few monks, who were able to teach me the Thai or Dhamma that is not in the book, through his own understanding. And I have mentioned them in the Heart Sutta book too. This is how you learn. And a lot of this teaching, they come straight from the heart. It's not in book form. It's not in the text or scriptural form. And what he shared with me and what he taught me is so simple. Like last Thursday, you heard some. He said, nature is our best teacher. Life itself is our best teacher. Nature has great loving kindness, great patience. So you can learn a lot from nature, you see. Nature just give and give and give. Nature just endure, accord and flow. You look at nature. All the plants, the tree, they go through the four seasons. They never complain. They endure the harsh condition. When condition is not conducive, they shed their leaves during autumn. Then they hibernate through winter. Then when spring comes, when condition is favorable, they will bud again, understand? Then they will flower beautifully in summer. This is what nature is. Then human beings, on the other way, on the other hand, do a lot of funny things. That's why you say nature give and give and give. Everything that you receive for you to sustain your life, you receive from nature. The air you breathe, the water you drink, the food, the vegetable, all the raw material that you need for your housing, for whatever thing that modern science has made use of to manufacture and create all this, what they call product for you to use. Even your handphone come from nature. They're nature's element and parts. Then you think all the technical thing come from where? Science and technology come from nature. Then the other thing about nature is nature got no fear. So you can be like nature, you are beautiful. Human being, a lot of craving, a lot of wrong view, a lot of what they call greed, selfishness. You never give, or you seldom give, I should use this way. To give is like very difficult, unless you have that parami, dana parami. So through selfishness, what you do is, you complain a lot, anasana. Rain also complain, no rain also complain. Despite what you have, you are already so blessed compared to those who can't even have the 3 meals a day or shelter over their head or born deformed, OKU and other things. You are already so blessed. But yet you still complain. Because why? You compare with those who are very successful, very wealthy. You say, I am nothing compared to my friend. Compared to those politicians, they can afford so many things. So, what is that? Envy, jealousy, lack of understanding, lack of contentment. So this is why you cannot learn from nature, because your mind has selfishness, has delusion. It keep on having this craving, desire. You want things your way, which is not nature's way. Then you develop fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation when you cannot get what you want. You have a lot of attachment, a lot of craving, a lot of clinging, grasping. You hold on to so many things that can torment you and make you miserable. Everything comes about because of ignorance, which is the basis for all this to arise. When there is ignorance, the most powerful ignorance is self-delusion. That's why all this arises. Then you look at nature. Nature is full of patience. The tree outside your house. Middle of the night when you were happily sleeping, having your nice dream, especially on a rainy day, what do? You just sleep. Provided you can sleep. A lot of people cannot sleep. Then what happens is, the tree outside, or the rock outside, they got no fear. If I will put you out of the house at night, with the storm, with the thunder, with the rain, and you got no place to go, what will happen to you? Can you be like nature out there? Never complain. Don't have fear. Endure through. Then, the next morning, you go out. Nature is still nature. Understand? They don't have this heedless thinking mind. They don't have this delusion, this type of consciousness that make them miserable. So this is the difference. Where human being has this mind compared to those outside, which is mostly the lower form living thing, like the plants and all those things. They have very, very little consciousness. And because of that, they don't have the heedless thought like what human beings used to have. They don't complain so much. They don't react and stir their mind so much. There is little on the evil road. They just accord and flow. That's why you look at plant, it's very interesting. If they cannot get sunlight, what they do? They will branch and look for a place with sunlight. Finish. No more problem. Why can't human being do that? Human being must get angry first. Argue. Why you block my sunlight? And all these things. Even your neighbor also, you are not at peace. Why they play the music so loud? They are not what they call considerate. But when you play music very loud, you never ask yourself the same question. Then when neighbor come and complain, ask you to tone down, is it? What type of neighbor is this? People having party, once a month or once a year, like that also cannot accommodate. See, when you are selfish, you talk in a way to benefit you. And you should see with awareness, mindfulness, all this that is happening. Then you will check, how egoic are you? How much selfishness do you have? That's why during the early day, I remember I shared this with you all before. When I read the Buddha Dharma, then when I came to this part, Lord Buddha said, living being is full of ignorance. You know, the time university graduate, and you some more the cream of your state. You used to do very well in your academic. We topped the school and others. Then when we came and we somehow went into engineering faculty, so thinking we are really very different, very special. So that time, I cannot understand that word. I say, how can Lord Buddha say we are all ignorant? Ignorant to me is not educated. That time, illiterate and all that. I got it completely wrong. Not until I had the mindfulness develop. Then I start to see every moment of my mental intention, my thought process, everything. Then I realize, what the Buddha said is so true. Almost every thought that arises, the intention behind is selfish. You know why? You go and check. If it's not for you or your loved one or something beneficial to your company, your family, or your whatever race, or even your own religious belief, you will never want to do. Understand? Because everything is based on advantages to me or not advantages to me, to my family, beneficial or not, to my race, my religious belief, my school. You tend to identify yourself with many of these. Then all of your consideration in life is all about advantages, benefit. And this is selfishness. This is self-delusion, ignorant. Then, suddenly this nature got a shock of his life. Oh, now I understood what the Buddha meant. Living beings are full of ignorance. Because they are so deluded. Ignorant because there is self-delusion that lead to selfishness. Then I start to understand how the evil root comes about because of sakkayadity, self-delusion. And the main culprit is that atta, the egoic mind. So self-delusion is a very small part of ignorance. The other major part of ignorance is ignorant of the truth, nature's law that governs life and existence. That is the most powerful, especially the Four Noble Truths. There's spiritual law with regards to law of karma, working of the mind. When you don't have this understanding, you are ignorant, you are deluded. Self-delusion, of course, is the main ignorant, the main very powerful ignorance that will condition negativity or karma. But the main ignorance before self-delusion is not understanding the nature's law of karma. That's why the Buddha said you must understand this law. Every day you must contemplate and reflect. We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. So you have to understand karma plays such a great role in your life. If you don't take care of karma, your life will be afflicted. You will suffer because you are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it. And you are what you are every moment, every instant because of karma. So if you don't take care of karma, means you don't follow the advice of the Buddha. And the advice of the Buddha comes from this, right view, right understanding. Then the Buddha say it is because of self-delusion that you create the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, the negativity of karma. And that is how the whole teaching come about. So from ignorance, it zoomed down to self-delusion. Self-delusion create the evil roots, the mental hindrance. And the thing behind is always ignorant. And ignorance is a very, very wide topic. Self-delusion is just a small fraction of it, but it is the gist of it, because all of karma comes from self-delusion. That's it. The sakkayadity, the first factor that bound you to samsara. Then if you don't have right view regards to all the other spiritual law that governs life and existence, like how you function as a human being. Who are you? What are you? The five aggregate form and mind. How you arise and how your mind arise and pass away. Depending on this nature's law, paticca samuppada, dependent originating, dependent origination, or ittapacciyata, the other Pali word. Then of course the essential Dhamma that spin off from the essence of the Buddha's teaching, which is the Four Noble Truths. When you are ignorant of this Four Noble Truths, you are really ignorant, because you cannot awaken. Where this Four Noble Truths is like the secret of life. It explains to you very clearly all of life, mundane and supramundane, and every aspect of life is within this Four Noble Truths, especially the First Noble Truth. The realities of life and existence covered under the First Noble Truth. The final summary, the Buddha said, in short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp, cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. That's like the upadana khandas, the five grasping aggregate. They are suffering. They are burning. Understand? That's like the fire sermon, remember? The eye is burning. Sense impression, the sense data is burning. Then contact is burning. Consciousness is burning. Burning with what? Burning with what? The three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, born of self-delusion. That's why you have to be mindful to see all this. Everything is burning. And you somehow think it's pleasurable. Understand? Still enjoying life. Not to say you cannot have good life. You can have good life. But don't be heedless. Don't be deluded. Don't be deceived. That's why you need to cultivate mindfulness, to develop all this understanding, to insight into phenomena, to see clearly their universal characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering. And because they are impermanent, it not only conditions suffering, it is also empty, not real, not what you think. He know you, he know me. That's why it's non-self, not a permanent and changing entity. So all this, you will develop the understanding. So learn from nature. Nature just give and give. Nature is very patient, accord and flow, it never complain. That's why they are always at peace. Understand? Even the big tree, what they do? They endure the sunlight and give you the shade. And you never appreciate it. What you do? You pee down there. You eat your kacang and throw everything down there. You pollute nature. Then, some greedy one, they even chop the tree down and sell the timber. Understand? So when you destroy nature, you destroy yourself. You are part of nature. From nature you come. That's why this form and mind, they go the way of nature. You are part of nature. You are one big family within the conditioned world. And this is not you. But you must have the wisdom to understand that this one is subject to karma. You have to take care. You have to abide by these rules and understanding. You cannot do things selfishly or want things your way and just heedlessly go about doing things. And this is what Dhamma is all about. When you understand all these things, your love, your compassion comes about naturally through understanding. You can never lie, you can never cheat, you can never deceive, you can never even take advantage. Yes, not worthwhile. You reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So that's why you must have more virtue, more kindness, more goodness, more understanding. That's why wisdom and compassion and virtue, these are the fundamental cultivation of a cultivator. If you don't have a heart that cultivate these three things, you cannot be successful in life, in your cultivation. That's why love, compassion, wisdom. Love and compassion will give rise to virtue, goodness, wholesomeness, kindness. And this is what you need for your karmic nature to become powerful, strong, so that it will serve you well when it has to come or choose to come. Then all the Dhamma understanding, which is the purification of mind, the cultivation, the development of wisdom through insight via the meditative mind, the silent mind, to realize the universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering state and non-self. And this is the thing that can transform your nature, transform your character, your personality, and bring forth the good life. That's why your whole life destiny can change when you have this teaching, this understanding. And this is what Dhamma is all about. It will make you different. You will stand out from the rest. And delusion will cease to be. Ignorance will cease to be. Then you get to reap the fruit of your hard work. The third phase of Dhamma, Pativeda, you get to live the life of an enlightened being. Then you will understand why Heart Sutta say, when you realize true emptiness, life become wonderful. True emptiness is wonderful existence. Chen Kong Miao Yu. So all these are very important understanding. Okay? So we more or less cover most of the things that you need to know. Through very simple Dhamma, you can learn so much things. Because the teaching is really, really beautiful, unique and very rich in its understanding. Okay, we go on now. We listen to the verse. This is interesting already. as bowing is basically to cut off ignorance. So this sentence you understand, isn't it? Yeah? You understand, isn't it? I already explained just now. Huh? The first one is what? Engby mentioned it. Huh? To develop? Develop what? Humility is to do away with the ego. Understand not? An ego comes from self-delusion. And self-delusion is one part of ignorance. That's why Hui Ning is very wise. He said, espousing is basically to cut off arrogance or what they call the egoic mind. The other thing that you have to understand is paying respect is basic virtue. Understand not? You better write it down. Bowing or paying respect. Bowing or paying of respect. Is basic virtue. Then we go on. As bowing is basically to cut off arrogance or what they call ego. When you are very arrogant, means you are very proud. There is a lot of ego in you. Why don't you touch your head to the ground? When you possess a self, offenses arise. This statement is very powerful, isn't it? Powerful or not? I read to you again. When you possess a self, means what? Means what? You have self? Delusion, understand? And there is the fetter that condition the evil roots of greed, hatred, and the you think you exist. The personality, the ego, the I, the me arise already. You become like real, exist already. Then what happened? Offenses arise. See? All of your karmic negativity will arise. You will develop karmic offense. But forgetting merits brings about what? When you forget about the merit, means what? There is no mark of a self doing. Understand? No? And there is no more greed. The mark of a self having greed for merit. And this one is the highest blessing. Because it's free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the master asked further, what is your name? Then Bhishu replied, Fata. The master said, your name means Dhamma penetration. Fata. Ta. Ta tao de ta. Fata. Dhamma penetration. Fata. Ta tao de ta. But what Dhamma have you penetrated? He then spoke a verse. This one interesting. Your name means Dhamma penetration. And you earnestly recite without pause to rest. Recitation is mere sound like parroting. But one who understands his mind is called not the parrot, understand? Now, because of your karmic condition, I will explain it to you. Believe only that the Buddha is without words, and the lotus blossom will bloom from your mouth. See? When you can chant with understanding, that teaching become different because the Dhamma is not the word. The Dhamma is the Dhamma, the truth. You have to awaken to it. You cannot cling on to the word. Understand now? So believe only that the Buddha is without word. Means without. Word means what? Concept, idea, form. Your Mandarin called Xiang, understand or not? And the lotus blossom will bloom from your mouth. So this understanding is very important. So we look at the commentary, see what Master Xianhua has to say. Dharma Master Fa Hai, Dharma Si, Hai is Si, and Fa Ta, Dharma Penetration, both received the six patriarchs Dhamma. Fa Ta left home at age of 7 and constantly recited the Lotus Sutta. But when he met the patriarch, he didn't bow properly, he just pretend. He had to make some sort of show of it, since everybody knew that the great master homages rope and bow. Everybody knew that the grand master held homages rope and bow. Homage is the fifth patriarch. But the most respect he could master was to throw himself hastily on the ground. See, when you pay respect, you are not being mindful, you are not being sincere. That's why he just hastily, like in Cantonese they call it zhou yong, understand? Express it just for what they call outwardly respect sake. Without even touching his head to the floor, and in his heart he felt that his own merits certainly are greater than the master. That's why he replied like that. He said he had recited the Lotus Sutta more than 3,000 times. After all, he thought, I have recited the sutta over 3,000 times. When Fa Ta saw ordinary people, he couldn't even manage to half bow. He was like a rich snob. Snob means snobbish, snobbish, proud, very proud, who only sees other rich snobs and look down on everyone else. The sixth patriarch took one look and knew that Fa Ta had something on his mind. That's why I said they can sense you, whether you are sincere or not. The Lotus Sutta is 7 volume long, and reciting quickly, you could read through it once in a day, or 365 times a year. Therefore, Fa Ta had been reciting it for over 10 years. Even if you chant through very fast, it takes you a day, be a 7 volume. So he thought he must have developed a lot of merits. Because in Mahayana, they call it Song Jing. You offer your sutta, understand? Means you develop this faith and diligently recite the sutta. Like you offer this sutta to the great beings. Then Huining replied, he said, I don't care if you have recited it even 10,000 times, said the master. If you really understand it, you wouldn't reveal in your own merits and could study with me. Not everyone can study with a patriarch, If you have obstruction and affliction, he may not want you. It's not to say he may not want you. There is no condition for him to receive you. Therefore, if you come to study here but break the rules, you are not welcome. In order to cultivate with me, you must offer up your conduct in accord with the teaching. So many recitations, said the master, and you still don't know how to concede. Sorry, you still don't know how conceited you are, means how proud you are. No doubt, you think your merit is even higher than mine. Such pride is an offense. But if you could forget your merits and consider your 3,000 recitation as no recitation, then your merits would be limitless and boundless. See? It is so extreme. The 3,000 recitation, when you can consider it as no merits, then your blessing is totally different. Means when you have the understanding, there is no such thing as merits, understand? Not? Merit is for the conditioned world, for the form of mind, understand? Not? That's why when you read the Heart Sutta, you will know, in true emptiness, there is no old age, sickness and death. There is no Four Noble Truths. There is no old age, sickness and death and all these things. There is no Dhamma also. There is no one to be enlightened. That's why all this that you call merits in the conditioned world, to the enlightened one, to those who have the understanding, they are not what you think they are. They are applicable to the conditioned world, because in the unconditioned, none at all, because there is nothing in the unconditioned. So this understanding is a sudden awakening. When you understand, everything dissolve, even the Dhamma dissolve. Dhamma is only needed when you are in the conditioned world for the form of mind to develop understanding. Well, what is Dhamma? Points towards the truth, understand? Not? Although Dhamma is the truth, but the words, they point towards the truth. Well, that truth is to be realized. You can see the point or not? Yeah? That truth is to be realized. It cannot be memorized as knowledge, understand? No. It cannot be retained in the brain or in the thought process. But it is an understanding. Understanding is wisdom. The form of mind cannot understand. The silent mind, which is the nature, has to awaken to it. That's it. When you can see things as they are, insight into phenomena, to realize the three universal characteristics. It's an awakening. It's not a thought telling you that. It's not knowledge. It's sudden understanding. And the nature just understands. That's why after the nature understands, this wisdom is connected to that form of mind. That's how the form of mind becomes enlightened, awakened. But that follow is not you. Do you understand? But you need the form of mind to come. And without form of mind, you cannot connect to the nature. That is the complication of cultivation. That is the secret of life. That is what cultivation is all about. That's why you have to have the wisdom of the conditioned world and the unconditioned world. You have to have both understanding to penetrate the Dhamma, to realize the understanding so that you can fit into life. So that either the conditioned or the unconditioned, you have both understanding. Then only you can live life with that understanding within the conditioned world. But the conditioned world is very, very messy and very complicated. When you come to the conditioned world, everything exists, understand? There is karma, there is form and mind. There is always sickness and death. There is enlightenment. There are all sorts of things. The whole conditioned world, the phenomenal world, is like so real, exists. But what you need is the wisdom. You understand the form of mind is not you, but karmically conditioned out for you to come to this conditioned world, to live life, to cultivate, to develop whatever wholesomeness. But not to come here to suffer, to become miserable, to be afflicted through delusion and all that. So this is the secret that you have to understand. Then when you understand, you have to train this mind, the form of mind, to awaken. Then only you can live. Otherwise, you might as well don't come. But you got no choice. You have to come. So, karma decide, not you decide. Understand? Unless you already have the Bodhisattva vow, and then you decide. you decide your condition. You choose to come. Then that day, the funny question, I think Manju had asked me, I think, was it last Sunday? Last Sunday, after that, we went Bank Negara for dinner. They spent me and my wife dinner. You know what she asked me or not? She said, Brother Teo, you say choose to come. What do you mean? Then after that, she asked me another question. I said, choose to come means you can decide when to come. Then he said, if you don't choose to come, then what you do? He asked this type of question. So, you all let me know. Where did it went wrong? How come got this type of question? The Bodhisattva, he can choose to come there. If he don't choose to come, what happened to him? Because the problem lies where? He still thinks that the Bodhisattva is a being. Understand? It's just like Bhikkhu Amaro, Amaravati. He's very good. He quote the Diamond Sutta, you know. No? His that reply is very fair. Oh, he never takes side. But he says the understanding becomes problematic because people take the Bodhisattva ideal or the Mahayana as a being. The Arahant also as a being. That's why they say they don't know what to do, confused. Don't know go Arahant way or Bodhisattva way. You still think you are the Arahant way, you are the Bodhisattva. The cultivator who have this understanding knew this is not them, understand? So the Bodhisattva, because they have the vow, they have the understanding, they can arise the causes and conditions, make the vow and aspiration, and they can put in the causes and conditions for the condition that they have the understanding to come. So when the conditions are all planted with understanding through the vow, it will know how to come. And there are other conditions that is behind, because he has this vow, and this is the vow that create the affinity with all this limitless being, where he vowed to take them across. Then, like my nature, I got a very strange vow. Whatever I eat in the form of food, I vow to take all these creature or beings across in the future. So this type of vow will carry itself through the condition, and it will know when to come and how to come. If we don't choose to come, means nothing happened, understand? Where he's not a being living up there, understand? Waiting to come. Where got such thing? Because the nature's law with the understanding, because of the vow, love and compassion, the first vow, it can arise the pure mind for the form and mind to arise. And all this timing depends on his understanding. That's why in the email you read through this book, Cultivating the Buddha, there is a lady from Singapore asked me the same question. Then after that I explained that he knew, yeah, Sakyamuni Buddha, that is his last life. And now he understands. He never lied. No more birth. Means no more birth as a puttujana, deluded being. Understand? Means last thought or ignorant, that conditioned rebirth, no more. That's why that is his last birth. That's why he recited the famous verse. I think verse 153 and 154. He said, house builder, which is craving, you have been seen. You shall build no more house for thy rafter and ridgepole has been shattered. So if you were to base on this, it's like, you know, the Buddha says he won't be born again. This is the last birth. But people don't understand how he became a Bodhisattva and become a Sammasambuddha. He must have already understood how to come. Understand how? That's why he keep on coming. At that life, before Dipankara certify him and predict him, he already has the ability to become Arahant. And he, in fact, was an Arahant. And yet, he can come. Then after that, so many Buddha, 24 more Buddha. predicted him. And our this era, there are only four, no, so far. Until Sakyamuni. Then there is another one, the fifth one, supposed to be Maitreya. But according to that scripture, every world cycle is supposed to have 1,000 Sama Sambuddha. So we don't go and argue about this thing, because to me it's not important, understand? Whether it's the truth or not, you will have to find out through your own cultivation. But when you understand, it becomes beautiful. So, he, the Singapore lady, came to understand after I replied her that the Bodhisattva, which is Sakyamuni, from that life onward, his spiritual nature exists, his karmic nature also exists. But that Sakyamuni Buddha's form and mind no more. Do you understand? And he asked me whether he can come back in another form and mind which is not born of ignorance. I say can. Then after that he even asked further. He said, will he immediately come back? I said, it depends. Yes and no. You go and read. Everything is there. So this understanding is very different. He can still come back, but there is no more condition to be another Sammasambuddha, understand? Because that was already predicted long ago, and that has been fulfilled. But the nature of Sakyamuni Buddha, like Kuan Yin, Maitreya, and all this, they exist. And if they choose to come, they can come. But it's not a being, understand? It's that nature through condition, nature's condition, and their understanding that arise, that causes and condition for this form and mind to arise. Then through the pure mind, love and compassion, it will manifest. That's why Kuan Yin got all the manifestation of Kuan Yin. You remember? When you chant the Ta Pei Chou, they are all the 80, how many? 84 manifestation. And these are the very, very famous manifestation of Kuan Yin. That's why they combine them all to become great compassionate mantra, Ta Pei Chou. And all this, if you understand, you will understand the Bodhisattva way. Because Mahayana has a lot of great beings, Buddhas and Bodhisattva, who has gone through this way. That's why their teaching is different from the traditional Theravada. It's very different. But both come from the Dhamma, understand? You don't try to discriminate by saying, you Theravada, he Mahayana. Who is the you and the he? It's that form and mind that don't understand, segregate, separate. If you have the understanding, you will know how to fit it in. Like Bhikkhu Amaro say, both teaching come from the same Dhamma that the Buddha teach. And you can penetrate with the same Buddha Dhamma that the Buddha teach to understand both cultivation. And the problem that lead to conflict is the concept of a arahan as a being and the bodhisattva as a being. That's where the argument starts. Now you understand? But these are not real, not you. That segmented form and mind is not real. It's not the arahan, understand? Of course, when the wisdom connected, you can say this form and mind is arahan, but it's not you. Do you understand? Can you understand? The Bodhisattva, yes, exists before with this name, like Kuan Yin, all these manifestations. But they know it's not them, understand? It's only the segmented life that come with that understanding, that condition, and manifest and did all the work. That's it. So all this understanding, you will come to understand. Yeah. And this is the part where very few cultivators understand. Very few. So, hopefully, with this book, you all can develop the faith, the understanding. Then, find out for yourself. Investigate into it for yourself. Then, make your own decision. Because when you understand, it becomes very different. When you don't understand, the thought keep on telling you funny story. Create all the doubt. Who asks all those questions? Is the thought, the egoic mind. and you check back, it's the fear, the selfishness. Fear of what? Fear of not able to become arahant. Because you think the dogma, what people tell you. Even the Singapore lady, there's another one that wrote to me. He said, after he read my soft copy before the book came out, she said, everything I mentioned there, that was the doubt that she has earlier on. Exactly. Luckily, your explanation was so lucid and so clear. Now she got no more doubt. Because she got nothing to lose. And this is what she can find out on her own. That's why she just developed that faith, that sincerity, and she just do. I forgot to bring the other book, written by Sun Yan Fa Si, the Fa Gu San. Just now I was going through that book, he talked about his, how Dhamma Drama Society or what? No. The monastery, what he called Dhamma Drum Mountain, DDM, how it come about all things. Then he also talked about the way and all those things, the cultivation. There was one part he specifically mentioned. Remind me to bring the book to read to you, then you will understand. Well, he said a lot of these cultivators, sometimes through their own what they call delusion, they want to play safe and all those things. then they say, I forgot already. I bring the book, I read to you, then you understand. Yeah. You bring, see whether it's that one. Yeah. If it's that one, then I can find the page. you brought back from Taiwan. No, not so big. No. Mine is a very small one. No, not this one. This one is their own book, I think. No, like this one is different. This one is different. Different. This one, I think, is all about their Dhamma Drum, what they do, different. That one is, he himself wrote one. Yeah. This one is like a magazine. Yeah. No. he wrote it himself about, first is the biography, then the teaching, then how the idea of Dhamma Drum Mountain come about, then how Dhamma Drum Mountain interact with society and all those things. Actually, I brought the book. It's a very small book, a thin book. Okay, never mind. What's the time now? You're supposed to meditate. Exceeded 15 minutes. Okay, I think I will maybe continue a bit more, then we can stop, then you can have your meditation. So Hui Ning say, speak up, Dhamma penetration. The master continue, what Dhamma have you penetrated? Fata was speechless. Then the master said, not bad. You work hard. However, your recitation is of no benefit because you don't understand what the sutta means. If you could only understand your mind and see your nature. See, the emphasis is on what? Huh? See your mind and? This is pointing direct to the true mind. So when you can understand your mind, means you must have mindfulness to be aware of your mind state. Just like I told you during the early day, I came to understand why the Buddha said all living beings full of ignorance. It's because when I was mindful, I realized every thought process, the mental intention behind is egoic, selfish. Then later on, the fear, the whatever, envy, jealousy, all these are the evil roots. That's why you must see your own mind through mindfulness and see your nature. Means you must realize that silent mind, the true mind, your nature. Then you would be a bodhisattva. If you cannot realize your true nature, they call it 见性. You understand the Mandarin word? Yeah? 见性. If you cannot realize your silent mind, you have not really penetrated. Because this is the beginning of true cultivation. Before you connect, when I say connect to your silent mind, it's 见性, understand not? If you don't have the silent mind, you cannot meditate. The real meditation cannot arise. That's why it's only the silent mind, the true mind, without thought, that can see things as they are. You have come all this way from Hongzhou, because we have an affinity from circumstances in former life. See? Hui Ning will know. Otherwise, he cannot be there. Now just believe that the Buddha is without word and the lotus bloom, and the lotus blossom will bloom from your mouth is a belief. Understand not? The Buddha never say a thing, and if you recite without understanding the principle, what is it? You are wasting your time. What did I advise you? If you meditate without, you are wasting your time. Exactly the same, understand not? One is chanting, one is meditating. That's why don't be gullible anymore. Wake up, don't be foolish anymore. You must understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. Otherwise, nobody can help you. Yeah. Then the Dhamma Sutta say what? One who sees me by form or seek me in sound walks a deviant path. Now you understand. Not seeing the Tathagata. So, if you cultivate form Dhamma, thought-based Dhamma, what happened to you? What happened to you? Means you see the Buddha and the Dhamma in the words, which is form, and you seek them in sound, means the sixth sense, understand? But this is not the true mind. This is your mundane mind. This is thought-based meditation. You walk a deviant path, no? This is very serious, isn't it? That's why all thought-based meditation, you don't stand a chance, I tell you. You can be in and out of retreat for umpteen years. You will never change. You will never transform. And Hui Ning put it so bluntly, you know, you walk a deviant path. And this deviant path will not allow you to see the Tathagata. Why? Who is the Tathagata? Of course, Buddha. But who is the Buddha? The Buddha is the embodiment of what? Wisdom and virtue. That's why the Buddha told the monk that was looking at him, the 32 hallmark and the 84 minor characteristics. He said, foolish one, do you think by seeing all this you see the Buddha? The Buddha said, he who sees the Dhamma, the truth, sees me. And Dhamma is embodiment of what? Wisdom and virtue. Without wisdom, there is no virtue. Without wisdom, there is no understanding. That's why the Dhamma, which is the truth, which is the understanding, is wisdom and virtue. And that is what the Buddha is. So if you really want to see the Buddha, you must see the Dhamma. You must awaken to the truth, the teaching. And the reason why you can't, where you use thought-based meditation. Thought-based means what? You cannot realize the Dhamma which is akaliko. What is akaliko? Beyond mind, beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond time. If you use thought-based meditation, you are within the field of thought. How can that Dhamma be akaliko? How can you realize akaliko when your basis of instrument for cultivation is thought? Thought cannot give rise to realization which is beyond thought. Your thought is within the field of time, consciousness. Within the conditioned world. You cannot realize the unconditioned through the thought. And thought is egoic. So if you use thought, means what? Thought, meditate. Understand? And what is thought? Thought is egoic. Because from a spacious awareness, you shrink. Then it becomes egoic. The content of consciousness is ignorant, delusion. Because before you are enlightened, that is sakrality. So when you use thought, you kill yourself. You can never realize something that is beyond thought. No way. So thought-based meditation has this problem. The meditator is the thought. And when thought is active, what happened to you? Who is meditating? The thought is actively noting, doing, cultivating, all these words you use, analyzing, reasoning, and creating all those thought movements. So when thought is active, you cannot realize your true mind. Do you understand? Your silent mind, your true nature. That's why when thought cease, the moment you are without thought, what did I tell you? You are already in sati. That is your true mind, silent mind. Why can't you just silence everything and don't do anything? And that is the silent mind that you have to realize. That's why this teaching points direct to the true mind. This is where the direct see, the direct understanding, the direct cultivation. And all method and technique is to cease that thought. Why? Because these are skillful means for you to anchor that thinking mind, that mundane mind. And that mind has to develop what the Buddha say, mindfulness. That's why anapanasati is about mindfulness of the in and out breath. So that you are mindful without thought. The moment you are aware without thought, you are already with the silent mind, with your nature. But the problem with living beings is they go and focus, they go and concentrate. They go and develop the absorption energy and all those things. Then they enjoy the peace, the calmness and all those things. Why can't you develop it as a free mind? And yet the peace, the calmness, the clarity, the samadhi, all will come. But it's a free mind. They have the understanding. It's not a conditioned state. That is the real meditation. That's why I say, technically, if you have the spiritual faculty developed, you don't need the method, the technique, the skillful means to meditate. Because all these are needed when the spiritual faculty is not there, when the mental hindrance are there. Because it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. You cannot have that silent mind to start. You cannot be in the state of sati, which is the first factor of enlightenment. And you cannot stabilize it to be ever mindful. So straight away, you cannot develop heedfulness. You become heedless. That's why in the midst of life, all these cultivators become heedless. And when you are heedless, means you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. And this is so clearly explained in the teaching. And yet people don't understand, cannot see. But nobody teach this way anymore. Ah, yes. Ingbi, yeah.
Right, dear. I don't know how many of you will agree with me. If, let's, not if, actually, when we are in silence, we won't know all these things that we are with the true mind until
correct.
Brother Teo is the first one pointed out to us.
Yeah.
We are so ignorant, we don't know that state.
That is very true.
We don't know at that moment, we won't know.
Brother
Teo is the only one who pointed to us when we are in silence.
Without thought.
You are already aware.
You are already with the true mind.
How sure we are, we are not sure. We just trust Brother Teo.
Not trust. You can realize it. That when you do the lying down meditation, which you have done before, that's why you can hear me from so far. How can you have the ability to have that clarity or awareness? How can the awareness lead to that type of clarity or hearing? It's because your mind is silent. Otherwise, it has a lot of sankhara inside there, and you cannot have the clarity to be aware, to perceive when you're at a retreat. You remember? So that is the meditative mind, and you have to stabilize that, and that has to be developed in the midst of life until that daily mindfulness. Means in the midst of life, you have the mindfulness that is the same as you when you are meditating in the lying down posture in the retreat. Throughout the day, your mind is like that. Then only the real, ever mindful, constantly meditative heedfulness arises. That's why I say, not until you can develop, like you asked me the question in the Thursday class, I think. Then there's another one you asked, I think Thursday class, yeah. Is in the transcript. You say, is it possible to have samadhi in the midst of life? Remember? You can read that one. That one I explained very clearly. I say, not until you can have that type of stability of mindfulness leading to that samadhi, you have not started the real satipatthana.
I remember that because in fact that was my birthday resolution.
To
have samadhi or unwavering mind, not only in sitting meditation, but also in the daily life.
You should make aspiration for that, and it will come. It will come. But you have to understand, it needs causes and conditions. So when you make the aspiration, it will help a lot. It will bring forth the causes and conditions, and somehow you will develop it, it will fall into place. But what you need to understand is, you have to determine to be aware. And what is determined to be aware? Now I remind you of what I used to say, but most of you all didn't catch it. It's just like, the moment you are without thought, you are already aware. To be ever mindful means, constantly aware from inside. Understand or not? Means, you are aware of whatever that is going on, whether outside or inside, the awareness is there. Means constantly aware. You just want to be aware. That's it. Finish. Don't try to know after that. You try. It's very difficult at the very beginning. Aware of a lot of things that is happening. Whatever that is arise, just make sure you're aware from inside. Keep on from inside. Aware. Initially, maybe when you are aware here, you cannot be aware outside. Never mind. Initially, it's like that. Because like learning any game, you have not mastered it. You have not developed the skill. You cannot overnight become skillful. So you develop the what they call very strong intention to be aware. Then this mind that is constantly aware will start to understand things. Then you develop the stability of it through kaya nupassana. Kaya nupassana means body and mind move as one. Don't try to know. Just body and mind as one. Bowing also the same. Then, especially in the sitting, you sit until the mind completely no more movement. You must hit the level until like no more breathing, no more rising and falling. Everything has become so quiet, so still. Your mind is going to enter sati. And when your mind is in sati, it becomes very different. Then after that, the silent mind becomes very, very stable, without thought inside there. But that one is not easy. Because when you reach that very quiet mind, you can only do it in a formal meditation. The problem with the cultivator is nobody know what this thing is, and they cannot teach you. You are not supposed to do anything, because your mind has become so quiet, so subtle, until little or no movement. But it hasn't settled down into sati as yet. Means the stability of mindfulness is not there, because it is keep on floating. Understand now? The thought arises, but most of the time, because you are in a retreat, formal meditation, you are very quiet. But that is the beginning of the mind entering sati. So when that thing happens, don't do anything. Just allow it to be. Relax into it and silent. Maintain silent. That you can. go to your heart. If you don't want to go to your heart, it's okay. Stay at the breath, or stay at your rising and falling. What happens is, until there is no more movement, then you have to be patient. No more movement is actually a good sign, because your mind is trying to enter sati. Then you continue to silent, don't do anything. Then all of a sudden, if you are patient enough, that very fine breathing or very fine rising falling that you cannot perceive last time will come back to you. Will come back to you. Then after that, any movement of your body is like magnified the whole thing. Then you realize every of this is, the awareness is there with it. Then after that, when you want to come out of the sitting or move your hand or what, the mindfulness and the thing move as one. For the first time in your life, you realize, what is all this? This is actually your mind is in sati. That's why it's with it. But you cannot maintain it for long. Your split second is gone. You go back to your daily activity again. You start to walk too fast again. It's not to say you must walk slow. No need. But you have to have the ability to be silent. But because you have been using this mundane mind and thinking mind for so many years or decades, that's why this habit is there. You have to learn to be aware. No need to think. Think only when it's necessary. Even when you arise a thought, you have to be mindful of it. That's why through that mindfulness, you will see your mental intention. You will be able to see your aggregates of mind, the moment of contact, moment of feeling, everything become very clear. And this is the real mindfulness. Not until the form and mind is aware of what this mindfulness is, you cannot understand sati. That's why you bow, don't try to know. Bow until the body and mind move as one. Then all of a sudden, actually bowing is the best. Well, I also got it through bowing first. Then after that, I recall how I sit, because my anapanasati become very quiet, very still, straight away. Then that time, I already know how to silence all this. That's why I can know all this magnifying of the movement. It was so still. But I can only do in the sitting that time. And my anapanasati was continuous, so strong, the absorption, until I met Ajayantra. Then he told me, we choose away every action, every movement in the present. That is the... Then I reverse my whole cultivation. I release the absorption out into a free mind completely. Then I develop this ability to be mindful. Where my mind enters sati. I told you, within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness came. Then I realized all my movement, one with the body, with the kaya. Then the breathing also same. The anapanasati, no need to be in the sitting posture. It's aware, fully aware. Then everything I do is in sati. Then I realized, everything I see is in sati. The moving car, no concept, no word. The awareness and the thing is one. Then the flow of nature. Last time I told you, when I was very young, I saw all this movement without thought. Then I start to see again. That's how I understand that sati is not what you think. The moment you are without thought, you already in sati. Then the specific phenomenal awareness and the spatial awareness without a center, when I silent in the formal meditation lying down, there is no center. My senses are fully active. Very, very alert. Clarity. Then anything that make contact is aware. Even very, very distant sound is aware. And it can be aware of the whole of nature. That's why the oneness, inside, outside, no different. Immerse into one. Well, that is what that nature is. So not until you have this ability to develop until that state, you cannot understand. Provided if your past is very strong, then like Song, after he connect, he understand. Well, that teaching comes from the silent mind. And he can experience all this because after you connect to the true mind, that's why Hui Ning's teaching is pointing direct to the true mind. You don't have to waste your time doing all those thought-based meditation, the method, the technique, and all this funny thing. Forget about it. But if you need, you better do. That's not, because your spiritual faculty is not stable. Your daily mindfulness is not established. So you do. Then continue with the mindfulness, just sincerely, with the faith. Just do. Don't try to know. Then when sati come, the form of mind will know. But all of a sudden, your mind is in sati. You will understand one. Well, everything is following the sati. The mind, the awareness, and the form, the awareness and the phenomena, all move as one. Then you start to like see things very differently. Your mental intention all become very clear. Whatever, very, what they call subtle mental intention, which is to normal people, they cannot detect one. But you can see the very subtle greed or dislike or aversion, very, very subtle. You can feel it all. You become so sensitive. Then the slightest movement of sankhara, the suffering inside there, you can feel. To know something is suffering. To be at the moment of feeling is suffering. Because that sankhara, that movement, there's a sankhara anicchang, sankhara dukkang, become very clear. And when you reach that stage, you are almost going to become enlightened. The awakening will follow. Because when your mind can become so sensitive to suffering, then your mindfulness is so stable, it can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of arising of thought process, sankhara, mental state. You can just stay there, at the moment of perception, moment of awareness, moment of consciousness. The mind can just stay there. Because that sati is so different. The sati and samadhi is unwavering, collected. It can just stay there. That's why it can be at the moment of feeling, at the moment of contact. No movement. That's why I know without wisdom you cannot do this. Upon contact, not only feeling arrives, feeling immediately conditioned craving. You cannot stop unless you have yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience, and you have this stability of mindfulness together with the samadhi. That's why all this is not going to happen until your daily mindfulness is established, stabilized, until you are heedful. The moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. That's it. That's why Dhammapada verse 21 is very, very clear. 21, 22, 23. So the whole of cultivation, I hope by now, it should be very clear. Then just do. Then you find out yourself. Investigate for yourself. Then when you come to understand all this, you will have a lot of gratitude, a lot of respect for the Buddha, and a lot of joy. And this is something money cannot buy. Even if you pay a lot, you cannot find it. But because of condition, this can arise. And you have to have the understanding to appreciate what this is and determine with faith to really, really develop it and make full use of it. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now 5:10. You want to meditate for a while? Okay. I give you 20 minutes. So you can start your meditation. I will ring the bell after about 20 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. Huh? For those who have been asked, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Always remember, try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. This is the mind state that you need to use to develop the daily mindfulness. Okay, now we will continue our second session, meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you have, Q&A session. You can just raise your hand, we will pass the mic to you. Anybody? Oh, I haven't given that book to... Oh, I think Tammy, you have got the book, Tammy? Oh, okay. Because I saw you came in late, the last one. Yeah, you have got the book. Okay, now we open up. Anybody wants to report meditation? Oh. Yeah, pass to Mimi. Mindy, sorry.
Brother Teo, I would like to understand the three characteristics, impermanent, non-self, and dukkha, especially dukkha. Okay, actually, just now, I was... I wanted to ask Brother Teo, and then later I contemplate, and then I would like to try to explain whether this is correct or not. Okay, in one of my meditation experience, just now Sister Ingby asked, how do we know whether the true mind is, how do we know this is our true mind? In my understanding, and in my one of my meditation experience, there is when the consciousness has hindrances, it moves. The consciousness is very calm, is non-shakable. When it has hindrances, the consciousness understands.
It's aware.
It understands by itself.
Understand by itself.
Yes. And I was trying to understand what does it mean by dukkha, because when we talk about the Four Noble Truths, when we have craving, then we will grasp, and then it will create dukkha. But in another aspect, when we talk about the three universal characteristics, it means that the thing itself has the characteristic of dukkha.
It's inherent in all the phenomena, whether physical, mental, or nature's phenomena. That suffering state, that characteristic of suffering, dukkha, is there. It's a universal characteristic. But you can only see all this when you have that stability of wisdom and understanding. Then you can feel it, because your mindfulness has to reach that state of stability and sensitivity to be aware of all this. Then your Dhamma understanding also has to be there, so that you can be so sensitive as to feel them at every moment of consciousness, every moment of awareness. But that will happen later. When that happens, is you are very near cessation, very near Nibbana, the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. But it can sometimes be just a glimpse, one moment of consciousness, then over for sainthood way. But later on, as you develop more wisdom, more understanding, then the cessation will fall into place, and it will last longer, and it will happen longer. Initially, you just silent your mind and just do. Don't worry. Don't try to understand. Then all of a sudden, when the silent mind awakens to it, the formal mind will know that it's like inside there, it suddenly understands what these three universal characteristics is all about. It's always the impermanent first. When you see phenomena arising and passing away so often, that all of a sudden, through your silence, through your awareness, it will awaken to this characteristic. Then from there, by deduction, the other two will arise. It will arise by deduction. That whatever that is impermanent cannot last. It's not a changing, it's not a permanent unchanging entity. So it will flow in accordance with condition. So when condition is like that, things will be like that. When condition ceases, that state, no matter how pleasant or unpleasant, will also cease. You understand? Then when that happens, you have to ask yourself, if you have craving, attachment, delusion to grabs and want it repeated, what happened? When you cannot get what you want, there will be suffering, there will be unhappy. So by deduction, you will understand this. Then you have to learn through mindfulness to feel all this, the very subtle unhappiness or attachment, craving. When you cannot get what you want, you don't feel good. There's a very subtle of this unhappiness inside there. You have to start with that type of gross mindfulness feeling. When you can see that, then later on you can see the deep, subtle one, very deep one. Sometimes you can't even know that it has arisen, but it's still a thought, very subtle one, through the back door coming to tell you story and all those things. And all this is how the daily mindfulness can help you realize and see all this. So initially it's during the meditation, the sudden awakening, the understanding. Then from there, by deduction, you will understand that because it's impermanent, it is of the nature to arise and pass away. When condition cease to be, it will cease. Then when condition cease to be, if I still want it, means I got attachment, I got craving, like good mind state, calmness, peacefulness, continuous mindfulness. That's why the defilement of insight will come. When all of a sudden, your mindfulness becomes very stable, we have the mundane mind, very easy to become mindful. Then throughout the day, you are mindful. Then you thought you already achieved something or realized something, or your meditation is progressing and you are different. That subtle ego will arise, understand or not? Then sometimes, for no reason, it will come and test you. All of a sudden, one day, you will lose all your mindfulness. You cannot be like earlier on. No. So there is a test. And when that test comes, if you become unhappy, then your thought will tell you, I fail again. Again, there is this and that. Forget about it. Just tell yourself, it's nature. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. So learn to see things as they are, accepting. So no more mindfulness, no more mindfulness. So be it. But as long as you don't react and stir, what happens is the mental hindrance is not there. Understand? So when the mental hindrance is not there, after a while, the sati will come back. Because your spiritual faculty is there. Then when the sati come back, the mindfulness come back again. And then you realize it's a test. Then you continue to do. You have to relax into it, silent, and develop it until very stable. Until you can see very clearly all of the arising and passing away. All of phenomenal. That's why I said, not until you can see phenomenal at the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away. You cannot have the stability of mindfulness to awaken to the three characteristics of nature. Means, at the moment of its arising, then your mindfulness is there, then it's sustained and it's passing. I mean, you see it continuously appearing, disappearing. In the midst of life, you know, not in the sitting. In the midst of life, I remember I was driving my car. Then I recall and contemplate, truth is everywhere, why can't I see? Then I knew, for those who see, they always see. So I determined to maintain mindfulness. Then all of a sudden, while I was driving, I start to see this phenomenon arising and passing away. I saw that, you know, when you drive your car, it will create some wind movement. Then sometimes for no reason, a piece of paper or a tissue or even that type of what they call temporary paper cup or container, you will see it flowing, suddenly arising, move, then pass. Then I start to see all this, you know, without any thought, without any movement, you know, it's just away. Then all of a sudden, it just awakened. The first instant was when my second last teacher, she just moved her hand and showed it to the Singapore man who also came to learn from him, that KC Un that I told you all, who became my good friend that passed me a lot of books and all. She just say, see. He told him, see. Means, with mindfulness, see. He just moved her hand. See? Is it? Then, move again. He said, what do you see? The moment she moved her hand like that, then like that, I awakened to the three characteristics straight away. Well, my mind was in sati. I was fully with this. Means, at the moment of its arising, sustenance, and cessation. Then she just say one word after that. Before she say that word, I already understood. Well, I awakened, he said. See? Exist, arise already. He told the Singaporean. Then he said, cease, no more already. Appearing, disappearing. Arising, passing away. He still cannot understand. The Singaporean cannot understand. Well, he was using the logical mind, the knowledge, to try to understand. But when I was there, the moment her hand moved and moved, straight away, not only that phenomenon, then I realized all of phenomena is like that. The universal characteristic is that. Then this nature suddenly, from there onward, continuously able to see all this. Yeah. That's why I say for those who see, they always see. Then every moment, every instant, it is there. Because the whole lot of phenomena world is continuously arising and passing away, even within your own form and mind, physical body and mind. Feeling arise and pass away continuously. Your thought process, your heartbeat, your vibration, your pulse of life, everything. Then your sankhara movement, your consciousness. This moment, that consciousness, that moment. Then the consciousness that arise, how the content went in, you fully aware, then how it stirred due to your wrong view, you start to see all this. That's how you know it's not you. It's the wrong view that conditioned all this movement, stirring. Then you realize this is the cause of suffering because of your views and opinion that condition you to grasp and cling and stir and react your mind. So you need to straighten your view. As you straighten your view, the next time you live life, you become different. You can see things as they are, you can accept them for what they are, but you have awakened to the universal correct, and you have contemplated long enough, deep enough, stable enough, that all this you will understand. So what you go through one is also quite good. Initially, like you say, that through mind, when you are aware, you will be aware of this movement. Like you say, the mental hindrance. You will start to see the moment you stir and react, the mental hindrance, like and dislike, come to be. So that is the beginning. So the seeing will lead to the understanding. Then you will start to know why the Buddha say we are all full of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and fear. Then you will see your selfishness, your craving, your desire, your what they call the way you hold on to things, give meaning to things. And because you hold on to things, you give meaning to things, it becomes attachment. It can be to your children, to your spouse, to your brothers and sisters or loved ones, or anybody. Even your relationship with your colleague or even friends or whatever, even Dhamma friends. You start to see them because your mind always identifies. You are different, your loved one. You have to finally develop the mindfulness until you understand how you function as a human being. Then you start to understand who you are, what you are, like what the Buddha said. Follow that green book that I shared with you all. You will start to understand that this form and mind is not really you. Well, this is not only karmically conditioned out. This one, the form and the mind, karmically trapped, because the consciousness is trapped inside the physical body. And whatever that happened to this physical body, the consciousness will come to be aware or become conscious of. Well, most people are not aware, so they become conscious of. Like when there is pain, there is stress, there is unhappiness, there is like and dislike, anger, envy, jealousy, all this. When they arrive, they are heedless. They just know that somebody make them angry, but they are not able to be aware of anger. Yeah, they cannot stay with the anger to find out what is anger. Where they thought anger is what they are. This fellow make me angry. Yeah. Then as a cultivator, some are so deluded. They say, "Ayo, I still got anger. I'm not supposed to be angry." Well, he thought, using knowledge, using concept, if I am a cultivator, I should not have the evil root. Well, anger is an evil root. Meditation is not like that. That is knowledge. That is the thought telling you. So you try to suppress, do away with anger. You try to control anger, suppress anger, don't want to get angry. You can't. As long as there is no wisdom, anger will arise. Your anger is condition arising due to wrong view, lack of understanding, and is an emotion that arises through karmic conditioning. So when the condition is there, it will arise. Like the Tuesday class I shared with them, when this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. So when there is no more delusion, then who is getting angry? It's just a form of mind. People are just the way they are. That's why you have to contemplate until this understanding is very stable, very, very clearly understood. Then it like become yoniso manasikara. It's like wisdom at the moment of sensation. So the next time when you see something or hear something or think of something that usually stir your mind and make you angry and unhappy, because of this understanding, this yoniso manasikara will come, like what Engbi last time described. All of a sudden, it will tell you the Dhamma. People are just the way they are. Anger is condition arising, not me. And this understanding straight away pop up. Then you will not be deluded by it. You will not, like the normal cultivator, go and complain, I still got... No more. You just aware, finish, gone. Cannot arise anymore. Well, you have already understood. But the first few times it arises, then what you should do is, like the Buddha said, when you are aware that the unreasoned mental hindrance, like anger has arisen or dislike has arisen, you're supposed to be aware. So stay there, silent, be with the anger. Then you will come to know, if you don't give it any more wrong thought, it will cease to be. Then you realize there is peacefulness, calmness at the heart area. The agitation which is conditioned by the emotion, may be anger or fear or craving or attachment, it will just cease. Then you realize you don't have to do anything. Just the ability to stay with that mind state is what the Buddha meant by awareness, sati. When sensual desire is there, or ill will is there, you are aware. And through that awareness, you will come to know how the arisen sensual desire or ill will cease to be. How does it become cease to be? You didn't do anything in there. Why? Because it's not you. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. When you no longer feed it with the wrong thought, then it ceases to be. That's why meditation is about mindfulness, awareness, silence. The moment you are silent, you're aware. Then through the sixth sense door, mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external senses, you will develop the investigative part, trace the origination factor. Before anger arise, there was no anger. How did anger come to be? That's why through mindfulness you trace. Oh, just now I saw that person. So through that seeing consciousness, the wrong view, I react, I stir. anger arise, emotion arise. Then retrospectively, I will reverse it. Means through understanding, through wisdom. If I stay with it, I can investigate into it. The anger is not me. Anger is condition arising, dependent originating, not real. It come and it go, it cease. Then when I understand this, then I trace back the origination of it. In the first place, how did I stir and create anger? That's why the Buddha said, retrospectively, through this understanding, reverse it. Then I reflect and contemplate. I perceive that person with negativity through what? Memory. There's an attachment to the five aggregate of form and mind is suffering. Because the memory is part of the five aggregate of form and mind. Memory gives rise to perception. Perception conditions your views and opinion. Where you perceive it in negativity through your past conditioning. So this perception, if it's done without understanding and wisdom, will lead to the views and the opinion, the wrong thought. That's why when you perceive something with negativity, it will stay inside, accumulated. That's why Mahayana say accumulation is a cause of suffering. That's why you like habitual tendency, straight away you react. Straight away you resist and create this mental negativity. So when you understand this, you ask yourself, how can I reverse all this? So that the next time, I don't have to do this. And then you contemplate on what the Buddha say. The Buddha say, see things as they are. What is the meaning? See things as they are. Means seeing things as it is. Means he is just the way he is. Understand now? Not what my mind tell me. Not the views and opinion and the conditioning tell me. But that is seeing with the memory. That's why Krishnamurti says, acting according to this memory is not acting at all. But this is based on your views, opinion, and your conditioning. And this one cannot understand. That's why you have to see things as they are. See things as they are means, without any views and opinion, concept or idea, I see. When I really see, that is the reality. Understand? The reality is, conditioned like that, things will be like that. And then you start to understand why the Buddha said, imas means sati, idang hoti. When this arises, that arises. When this ceases, that ceases. So how did it arise? It arises because I got self-delusion. I believe I exist. I believe he exists. And I believe he did this to me through memory, attachment, craving, clinging, conditioning. Then I perceive him with negativity. And because of that, like and dislike arise. Anger arise. You understand? So with that, how can you retrospectively reverse it? Reverse it means I see things as they are. He is just a form and mind. This one also form and mind. He is the way he is. Means deluded, like what I say, like what I share with you, but I contemplated this one out. This is not in the teaching. But through my own reflection, contemplation, I use it to deal with all this, then all this gone. So angry people say angry things. Deluded people do deluded things. So previously, I perceive him in negativity because I cannot understand this truth. That's why I, like a normal human being, perceive him in negativity because when he did all those things, I thought he was selfish, he was too much. How can he do this to me? Because there is a me, there is a he. And this is all sakkayatiti. Because all this follow nature's law, form and mind, follow nature's law. Nature's law, law of karma will take care of all this. You don't have to worry. As long as you understand all this, you make sure your form and mind don't commit negativity. Don't arise the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Means you have to see things as they are, accept them for what they are. Then you come to understand. The moment I do this, I am at peace. I don't perceive him with negativity anymore. I can understand why he is like that. Like Brother Theo said, angry people do angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded things. The world is the world. People is just the way they are. Then you have to apply to yourself too. You are just the way you are. And anger is not you. Emotion is not you. Because your wrong view, you stir, you react, and you become like what that person is. So when you can understand all this, then you realize it's just a form and mind, not you. Then who is there to be greedy? Who is there to be angry, unhappy, selfish? Then all of a sudden, you realize, if I can accept them for what they are, then I become at peace. Then the next time I see him, I will be observant, just aware. That conditioning, that negativity of perception will not arise. Well, now you understand. He's just the way he is. Maybe he has changed, I don't know. That's what I observe. If he comes sincere, there is condition, I will treat him well. If he's not sincere, I will just do what is necessary. Your condition is there, it will manifest. Condition not there, it will cease to be. Then you will know what to do. Then meditation also same. When you sit, let's say initially, your spiritual faculty is not stable. You got a lot of wandering thought. Then you cannot develop the peace, the calmness. What happened? The natural instinct of most meditators is you become unhappy, isn't it? I come here to meditate. I can't meditate. All this is disturbing. And this is unhappiness, no? Ill will, no? And this is an evil root of all evil, no? And it's a mental hindrance, no? It'll hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So you have to tell yourself, this aversion is not me, understand, no? This comes from my wrong view, because I cannot understand what is going on. I cannot develop this understanding to accept myself for what I am. It's just like the mundane mind. Without the spiritual faculty, you will have mental hindrance. Before I train this mundane mind, it will be heedless. So all the heedless thinking, when they arise, let it arise. Means you accept it, understand not? The untrained mind is heedless. So, that is the reality. So be it. Accept the reality. And then you try again the next time. You will become very, very different. You will come to understand it so differently. Well, when you start to accept this heedless thinking, when you are not deludedly trying to use your thought to control it, suppress it, and make it peaceful, the mind will quiet down on its own. Because it is a condition arising state. It becomes heedless because of mental hindrance. Because it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. So if you don't create the aversion towards it, the dislike towards it, this mental hindrance ceases. Then what happens? There is no mental hindrance. Your mind will fall back to normalcy. Understand? That's why you keep on accepting that condition. Be at peace with your own mundane mind. Have love and compassion. You know what is love and compassion? It means you love yourself. You have compassion towards yourself. Because through ignorance, through delusion, the mundane mind stir and become like that. So now I understand. To reverse it, I have to accept it for what he is. Just like I accept that person. That's why I become at peace with whatever mind state that arises. And when you become at peace, no more mental hindrance, no more of this stirring of the mind. Then this mind will quiet down on its own. Then because of that, when the thought becomes less, like I say, without thought, you are in sleep. All of a sudden, you will come to realize a quietness inside there. Then like all this thinking starts to slow down and suddenly no more thinking. That is the real meditation. Then you will come to understand, all of a sudden, within that silence, is peace. No more sankhara, no more agitation. Because sati has taken over. And what is sati? Spiritual faculty. That's why when sati is there, there is no thought. No thought means what? No thought means no reaction, no stirring. No concept, no word. That's why you become peaceful. Then when there is this state of silent awareness, this is a natural state, free mind. You continue to relax into it and just maintain that silence. And it will stabilize until your mind enters sati. Then when it enters sati and stabilize, it becomes pasati, which is samadhi. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. When it doesn't think anymore, that is your true mind. That's why from pasati, enlightenment factor, it will stabilize into samadhi. Samadhi means this mind not only in pasati, it has the stability because of the contemplative wisdom, although not the penetrative awakening yet. So the contemplative wisdom will make it unwavering, collected, and it will stay there. That's why during your daily mindfulness, you will have more and more moments of this, what they call tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. And this is the meditative mind, and this is the mind that can continuously be aware and understand many things. That's why the awareness will make you understand how you become what you are, how the form and mind stir, react, and make the living being the way they are. Then through this understanding, you can reverse all this by straightening your view. That's why straightening of one's view is a meritorious action, and it will bring about transformation. This is the beginning of understanding. Then as you got less and less of this wrong view, you got less and less of this ignorant delusion, then what happens is avijja paccaya sankhara gets attenuated, reduced. So you got less ignorant, less sakkaya ditti, less mental activity, less thinking. That's why your thoughts slow down. Because now you can accept a lot of things. You can see things as they are. You can be at peace with many, many things. So your mind no longer stir. Like and dislike is like very rare because you are aware, you are sensitive. Then as this one becomes completely reduced, then you will come to know, like what the Satipatthana said. You will come to know, the form of mind will come to know that these unarisen, what they call mental hindrance, they will not arise again. You will come to know. It cannot arise anymore because of the understanding, the wisdom. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, it's very clearly mentioned that when you cultivate mindfulness of the five mental hindrances, you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrances come to be. Then you continue to be mindful, you will come to understand how the arisen mental hindrances to be. Then when you trace the origination factor and retrospectively reverse it, you will come to know how in the future this mental hindrance can never arise again. This is what Satipatthana is. This is what the real cultivation is. But did the book tell you all this? Because they themselves don't understand what sati is, and they don't know what this Satipatthana explanation is all about. That's why it's not easy if you use the thought, if you only go by commentary, because you attach and cling on to the words. You have not experienced all this, not until somebody come by with the understanding and explain to you. You can never understand. It's just like this platform sutta. From now onward, it's going to be very beautiful. Yeah? Even the last two chapters before, yeah? When that bhikkhuni. That's why last time I remember Brother Song also mentioned when you reach this chapter onward, it will be very interesting. You know why it's interesting or not? Because all these people have been cultivating the so-called Zen practice for so long. Before Hui Ning come, what happened? All this cultivation were not understood. They only recite sutta and do all this Zen story, everything. Then what happened when Hui Ning came? You look at the way Hui Ning reprimand them, demolish them, and explain all this to them. Then you will understand why. Without the real understanding from a true cultivator, all this cannot be understood. The cultivation cannot take off. It will be stuck at thought base, knowledge base. This is what the Six Patriarchs Platform Sutta is all about. You can see. If he don't explain all this, the bhikkhuni will be trapped. This bhikkhu, fata, will be trapped. Yet they don't understand what the sutta is, what the teaching is, and what is that true mind. Even Shen Xiu also cannot understand. After he wrote the answer, you know, the poem to counter Shen Xiu, if Shen Xiu have the right mindfulness and understanding and the right cultivation, he would have understood straight away, and he would have realized the enlightenment, and he would have been given the patriarchship. And like Envy used to ask me, why did the fifth patriarch didn't tell him? The fifth patriarch knew. He could have made Shen Xiu enlightened straight away. But because condition is such, there is this type of being around. You know. The patriarchship is meant for him. You know. That's why he will know what to do. That's why he will leave it to nature. He tells Shen Xiu, I give you another chance. You go back and try another puya. And Shen Xiu just cannot come up with another one. That's it. Finish. That's why that night, I think his deadline is by that Sun Gan, where he asked Hui Ning to see him. By that time, if Shen Xiu don't come, he will pass the patriarchship to Hui Ning. That's the reason why Dhamma is like that. They will not take sides. The fifth patriarch also will say, oh, Shen Xiu was with me, I think I should help him. He won't. He will not do this type of thing. But he knows there is no such thing as a Shen Xiu or Hui Neng, or even Hong Mei. No such thing. It's just nature. Condition like that, things will be like that. That's why they say, nature's secret. They use the word what? Cannot reveal to people. Means what? Tian ji bu neng, so what? Ah, say hello. You cannot tell people. Because it will give rise to trouble, understand? Because this is nature. Nature has its way. So you go and tell somebody, then he go and prepare for it. No use one. Because nature is nature. Unless you have wisdom, you cannot change nature. That's why if you were to listen to this Liao Fan story, you all have heard before, Liao Fan. This is a very good, what they call, a Zen story. This Zen story differentiates the traditional energy field thought based on psychic one, where the Tao people do a lot. So initially this Liao Fan, he was born into a family, I think you all know the history, where they are famous for a lot of very established officials. They are all very learned scholar, and they become official. So initially, they were very, very ethical type of official. That's why their generation boom. They got a lot of good descendants. Then later on, because of delusion, some of them become corrupted. Then they start to amass a lot of corrupt assets and other things. Then it lead to a lot of karmic retribution, downfall. Until the whole of the generation shrink until there is only one more descendant to carry the banner. And that was that Liao Fan. His father also died, you know. Left with the grandmother to look after him, you know. Then the grandmother saw all this happening. He knew it's coming, Pao-yi. He tell Liao Fan, don't take the exam, don't go for official post anymore. Go and become a herbalist. He asked him to go and learn all this. Then Liao Fan, being a fellow piety child, follow the granny and do all this. Then one day he walked to the forest to get his herb. But on the way, he passed by a Tao monastery. And the abbot of that temple has a lot of psychic. He can see your future. He can predict your life. 你的命, they call fortune telling. So he saw and he realized this Liao Fan, his life, based on what he can see, he is supposed to be a high official. But why is he wasting his life to be a herbalist? 17 years old already at that time. Then he talked to Liao Fan. So Liao Fan told him, because the granny decided to ask him to become a herbalist. Then he said, can I see your granny? Then he took him to see the granny. Then he told the granny, destined to be an official. Why don't you let him study? Then the granny told the story. Then this Tao abbot said, don't worry. Let him be an official. Then he will know what to do. He said, I can tell you his life will be like that. He will take the exam. First time, he will not pass. But he will do quite well. Then second time, he will pass. Then after so many exams, until which exam, after that, he cannot pass already. Then he somehow predicted that he will not have a child. Despite marriage and all, he will not have a child. Until the age of 53, he is supposed to die. Then the granny agreed, sent him to study, and he became an official. And exactly as predicted by the Tao abbot, first time failed, didn't pass, but did quite well. Missed by a bit, then second time passed. Then after that, every exam, what grade also he can predict. And it came out very accurate. Then you know what Liao Fan did? He is also a very intelligent person, smart person. He learned a lot of other type of meditation too. Then, because after he heard the prediction, then everything come true, you know what he did or not? He said, life is just like that. What for? Go and work very hard. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Whatever is already predestined, understand or not? Because the abbot already predict everything so accurately. So what happened was, many, many years later, really, all come true. Until I think he was 40 years old. Then he met one from Wu Tai San, a Buddhist monk. So this Buddhist monk was, as usual, saw him very serene, very peaceful, talked to him, talked to Liao Fan. And after he talked to Liao Fan, he said, do you meditate? He said, yeah. Then he said, okay, let's sit and meditate. You know what happened or not? He actually, this Buddhist monk, he can see Liao Fan's mind. Liao Fan's mind got little or no thought on. Then he want to find out, how come his mind can be like that? So at first he thought he was a very great cultivator. That's why he want to test him and see. Then he realized he got not much thought. Then he spoke to Liao Fan. He said, how did you develop such good understanding and your mind state can be so good? Liao Fan said, no. Because everything is like that. That's why I just did like that. Means, he let things be. He don't want to interfere anymore. We are all predestined. So thought-based meditation, psychic, they can predict your karma. Understand not? You cannot change your life destiny. Because these are all karmically coded. They got born of your karma, head to your karma. But the Buddhist monk knew, you can change your life destiny, he told Liao Fan. If you trust me. So he said, you can follow me back to Wu Tai San. So he followed him back. Then he get him to sit, meditate for 3 days, three nights. Really, he don't even have a single thought during that 3 days, three nights. He said, you must be a gifted meditator. He said, no, because of my understanding that everything is just the way it is predicted. That's why no need to do anything. That's why the mind becomes like that. Oh, then he tell Liao Fan, okay, you want to change your life? Want to change your life destiny? I teach you a way. He said, you go in front of the Kun Yama, Kuan Yin. You go and ask for forgiveness, he said, to break your karmic obstruction and all those things. Then he said, from now onward, you go and do dana, parami. Means, sing sana. Do all the wholesomeness. So he said, at first you can record every good deed you did in a day. If you do 10 good deeds a day, 1 year, 365 times 10, you do 3,000 over. Then once you do this, your life will change, you see. Then the exam that Abbott predict that he cannot pass, he passed after that. Then say no child, he gave birth to a child. Then he realized that the Buddhist monk was correct. Life destiny can be changed with merits, with understanding, with wisdom. That's why he go and make the aspiration following the Buddhist monk. He go and do repentance, ask for forgiveness and all things. Then invoke power of merits. That's how all this change become possible. And that story is a very, very beautiful story to let you understand that you can change your life destiny if you have wisdom and understanding, and you know how to evoke power of merits. You know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil to good and purify your mind. So this is the message within that Liao Fan's story. And this is a very beautiful teaching. That's why a lot of people don't understand. The Dhamma is not predestined, not dead. Your past conditions you, but it does not dominate over you. Do you understand this statement? Your past already gone, you cannot change. That's why it will condition you. You are born of your karma, head to your karma, condition and so on. And you are white because of your karma. But it does not dominate over you means every moment, every instant from now onward, you can introduce new causes and conditions. If you follow the advice of the Buddha, you develop wholesomeness, merits, ask for forgiveness to break karmic obstruction, invoke power of merits for causes and conditions, for whatever wholesomeness, it will arise, the causes and conditions, and your life destiny will change. All this karmic negativity that is not too heavy and too severe, you can amicably dissolve it through asking for forgiveness, repentance, and invoking power of merits. So all this is in the teaching, but people didn't understand that. So in the Liao Fan story, it's not mentioned how to invoke power of merits. He is advised by the Buddhist monk to do good deeds, understand? Then there was another part. When he was doing these good deeds, he realized he cannot fulfill what he wants to do. Because he said he vowed to do, I think, 100,000 good deeds. Because he managed 10,000. Then 100,000, he said, predicted he will die at the age of 53. He don't have enough time. Well, if one day you do 10 average, 1 year 3,650, 10 years you only do 30,000, understand? So 100,000, how to finish? So he was worried. No? For the first time, his mind no more in the meditative state. No? Well, he got attachment, he's scared he die before he can fulfill. No? He got this worry going on. And according to the story, you know, he cannot sleep now those few nights. Then middle of one night, this Bodhisattva, Wei Tho, our Dharma protector, he came to his dream and asked him, I have been observing you. You used to be very peaceful, very calm. How come recently you have this restlessness of mind, like something is bothering you? So he told Wei Tho what happened. You say you don't have to understand. If you understand, what you have done is actually way beyond the 100,000 merits. He said, cannot be. Every day I try to do more wholesome, but I can't because I have helped most people. No more good people to help, understand? You know what that Bodhisattva Wei Tho told him? He said, now you are the high official, understand? With a stroke of your pen, mian sui, you know what is mian sui? Exam tax or reduced tax. You already did so much wholesomeness to all the citizens. No? Wow, then he suddenly realized that. No? And he woke up. He was full of joy. And he go and do. No? Wow, straight away, his merits are exceeded the 100,000. 100,000 is like nothing, no? Then you know what happened, huh? He didn't die, you know, at the age of 53. His life got extended, no? Until his son grew up. And he teach his son all this. That's how the story come about. Yeah. See? If you have the Dhamma, you can decide your life destiny. But this is a very unique teaching. That's why you need Sama Samudra and these great beings to share with you this teaching so that you have the understanding, the faith to benefit from it. Okay? Oh, yo, sorry. Exceeded by 20 minutes. You should remind me next time. Oh, sorry. Oh, 6:23. Oh. I thought I got half an hour. So fast, almost 1 hour. Okay, we will do the sharing of merit, then we end. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadhaviriya, then mindfully we shall share and transfer all this merit, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhobata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect, triple gem, then we end.
Thank you.